This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At this time, John the Baptizer appeared in the desert of Judea, proclaiming, "Change your hearts and minds, for the reign of heaven is about to break upon you." It was John that the prophet Isaiah described when he said, "A herald's voice cries in the desert, 'Prepare the way of our God, make straight the paths of God.'" John was clothed in a garment of camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist. Grasshoppers and wild honey were his food. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to John. John baptized them in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. Now, when John saw that many of the Pharisees and Sadducees were coming to be baptized, he said to them, "You pack of snakes, who told you to flee from the coming wrath? Give some evidence that you mean to reform. And don't pride yourselves on the claim, 'Sarah and Abraham are our parents.' I tell you, God can raise children for Sarah and Abraham from these very stones. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree that is not fruitful will be cut down, thrown into the fire. I will baptize you in water for repentance. But the one who will follow me is more powerful than I. I'm not fit even to untie the sandals of the coming one. The one who is coming will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan will clear the threshing floor. The grain will be gathered into the barn, but the chaff will be burned in unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. So when I was young, my very favorite Bible verse was Matthew 5:9. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." I think I was drawn to this verse because I hated conflict. I have two older brothers who I just love to pieces. But when they were growing up, they would butt heads like crazy. They're both similar enough and different enough in all of the wrong ways that they always pick at one another. And it drove me crazy. But more than that, it made me sad. How could these two people I loved so much just not get along? I hated the conflict I saw between them, the ways that they would just pick at each other over and over again. So when I was young, I really disliked conflict. And I think that's what drew me to Matthew 5:9, "Blessed are the peacemakers." I wanted to make peace between my brothers. And in my friend groups, I was always the one who refused to enter into disagreements or gossip. I never said anything that would rock the boat. I avoided conflict at all costs. To be honest, I was a real people pleaser. Because I thought that the way to make peace was to avoid conflict. And I think many of us share that attitude. We define peace as the absence of conflict, which is why today's theme, prophetic peace, might seem contradictory. If you know anything about the prophets, then you know that they are not conflict-avoidant people. Take John the Baptizer, for example. You brood of vipers! Who told you to flee from the coming wrath? No one could describe John as conflict-avoidant, as a people-pleaser. In fact, it seems like John is out there with the express purpose of picking a fight, not avoiding one. And the rest of the prophets are just like him. They point out everything people are doing wrong, which we all know people just love. They speak truth to power, even to their own king. They call people to give up their comforts and privileges and share everything they have with the poor. They tell people to love their enemies. Far from being conflict avoidant, a prophet's whole purpose might seem like starting conflict, picking a fight. So, if we hold that peace is the absence of conflict, and we hold that prophets start conflict, then the idea of prophetic peace seems contradictory. And yet, prophetic peace is the theme we're called to reflect on today. So I wonder if we need to re-examine our definition of peace and the purpose of the prophets. First, the purpose of the prophets. Prophets can sure feel like troublemakers. I mean, that's why so many people disliked Jesus and why they were constantly plotting his death. Jesus was a prophet. He noticed and pointed out where the comfort and the privilege of some came at the expense of others, of the most vulnerable. Now, for those in power, comfort, and privilege, it sure felt like Jesus was picking a fight. It felt like his whole purpose was to create conflict. Why did Jesus have to keep rocking the boat? But for the most vulnerable, those who were taken advantage of, at whose expense that power, comfort, and privilege came, Jesus' words and actions were not conflict, but mercy. When it seemed to those in comfort and privilege that Jesus was picking a fight, to the most vulnerable, it felt like finally someone was seeking peace for them. Prophets do not create conflict. They reveal injustice, wrong, and suffering. And in this revealing, conflict is inevitable. Because when injustice, suffering, wrong is revealed, those who profit from it feel threatened and uncomfortable. And to them, it sure feels like someone is picking a fight. But when injustice, when suffering is revealed, those who are harmed by it experience mercy and peace. The purpose of a prophet is not to create conflict, but to reveal what is already wrong in our world, so that God's justice, mercy, and peace will prevail. So, peace cannot be defined as the absence of conflict after all. Peace does not occur when conflict is avoided. Peace occurs when conflict is addressed. One more time. Peace does not occur when conflict is avoided. Peace occurs when conflict is addressed. Because after injustice and suffering and pain and wrong are revealed and conflicts have been worked through, that is when peace prevails. Prophetic peace is the peace of God. Prophetic peace is the peace of Jesus the Christ, Prince of Peace. My siblings, on the second Sunday of Advent, we are called to the prophetic peace of Jesus. This peace does not avoid conflict, it addresses it. This peace reveals what is wrong and hurtful, and it works through conflict and disagreement so that mercy, justice, and peace prevail. So, I wonder if there are conflicts that you have been avoiding where peace could prevail. Is there a family disagreement or dispute that you avoid? And I'm sure that at this holiday season, we can all think of one or two. Does avoiding this disagreement year after year actually cause more harm than good? Is it time to sit down, discuss it as a family, to seek healing and work towards love? Is there a conflict that you carry in your heart? A wrong you have experienced? A hurt you have not healed from? Is it time to open that wound, to examine that pain, to purge the poison that's hurting you and probably hurting the people around you? Is it time to have mercy for yourself and for others? Is there an issue that the people around you keep talking about that you just don't understand and maybe disagree with, that you don't want to hear about and you'd rather avoid? Is it time to ask why this issue matters so much to those people? Why they just will not let it drop? Is it time to lean in and learn more? To risk conflict and disagreement rather than avoid it? Perhaps in doing so, community and relationship will be strengthened through curiosity and compassion. My siblings, at this time of year, when we seek a peace on earth, and the birth of the Prince of Peace, let us remember that a peace that avoids conflict is not God's peace. It is not the peace of Jesus the Christ. The peace of Jesus Christ is a prophetic peace that reveals injustice, wrong, hurt, suffering, and pain, a prophetic peace of Jesus the Christ. It works through conflict and disagreement so that mercy, justice, and peace will prevail. Amen.